Tory Way, North West London, Sunday, Ches Nisan, the 21st of March, or Rav Moshe Levy Shlita, on the subject of Seder Insights. This week's Tory Way has been sponsored by family J. Kruskal, Leah Nishmas, his mother, Moras Leo, Bas Hechover, Reb Rifol, Olea Sholem.
Morning. You open up the Haggadah. First thing we see in the Haggadah is usually some pictures. Kiddush. Did you cast comments before you even get to the Kiddush, before you even get to the nice picture of the Seder plate, depending on which minhag you go by? You have Bedikat Chametz. And in the Ben Ish Chai's Haggadah, starts off, Or la'arba asar, Mishnah Pesachim, Or la'arba asar, on the night of the 14th, Botkin et ha-chametz la'or ha-ner, we start checking for chametz. We read yesterday, Vayikra Moshe, Hashem calls out to Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayidaber Hashem elav mo'al mo'ed le'emor, and all the Mefarshim say, you don't have to say both Vayikra and Vayikra, in the same pasuk, just say Vayikra Moshe mo'al mo'ed, or say, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe mo'al mo'ed le'emor, why do we need both? And famously, it's Vayikra Moshe, there's a little aleph. Why? To show the anivut, the humbleness of Moshe Rabbeinu. Rashi brings down, like it says by Bilam, Vayikar Elohim El Bilam. Vayikar, happenstance, wasn't that Hashem specifically called that, it was a mikra. Now it always bothered me, we know that every single letter in the Torah is so fundamental. One letter is not there, the whole thing's pasul. The blueprint of the world is the Torah. Estakel Baraita Bara Alma. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't have the authority to take out the Aleph. En kaze davar. Every single letter you can learn out so many halachas from. The fact that it has an extra hey, an extra yud, whatever it might be. Moshe Rabbeinu could take out one of the letters. So I once saw, I think it was the Chatam Sofer, says, no, it wasn't going to take out the Aleph. Made it small, he wanted to take it out. It was going to be like we have in Parashat Ha'azinu. It says, Hala Adonai tig meluzot amna va velo chacham. That hey, almost like dash. And then Hashem's name, it would have been like that. Vayikar Aleph El Moshe. But we talk about the humbleness of Moshe Rabbeinu. And I believe it's the Kli Akar that says, if in the history of the world there would have been somebody more humble than Moshe Rabbeinu, that person would have been the one to bring down the Torah. Hashem needed a kli, needed a vessel that was 100% empty of any arrogance, and therefore he's able to fill it up 100% with the Torah. Or la'arba asar, says the Ben Ish Chai, on the night of the 14th, who's this really talking to? This is talking to somebody who's now chayav in mitzvot. You have a child, they're 13 in one day. They're bar mitzvot. Or la'arba asar, you now became bar mitzvot. Botkinet ha-chametz, we start checking for chametz. The only difference we know between chametz and matzah is same exact ingredients, the only difference is the time. One is flat, one is humble, one is simple, and one is arrogant. One is the Yetzahara. There's many different places in the Gemara and the Farshim discuss. Chametz is like the Yetzahara. So what do? Or la'arba asar, now a child's always born with a Yetzahara. Now when he turns 13, he now has the Yetzer HaTov, so the Yetzer Hara has to up his game. What happens? Botkin et ha-chametz. We start searching this child for the arrogance, that ga'ava, the or haner, with the light of the candle. Ki ner mitzvah, v'torah or. That's how the only way to fight the Yetzer Hara, the only way to get rid of this arrogance, is with the Torah and mitzvot. Ben Ish Chai brings down a mashal. Nowadays, if I gave it over to kids, they would understand. It says, you have a pair of binoculars. Right? Kids nowadays don't have binoculars. They take their phone and they just go like this. And you can zoom in. You don't need binoculars. But back in the day when there was this thing called binoculars, you have something that's far away, says the Ben Ish Chai. And what do? You take the pair of binoculars and it looks like it's much bigger than it is. It looks like it's right in front of you. You turn the binoculars around. You could have something that's very close. And now, it appears very small and it appears very far away. Says the Ben Ish Chai, everybody has some element to some extent, most likely of ga'ava. The people who have a lot of ga'ava, what do? They use the wrong side of the binoculars, and they say, It's teeny, it's all the way over there, it's not a big deal, I don't know, it's not something I need to work on. The biggest tzaddikim, what do? It might be microscopic, and it's all the way over there. They take the binoculars, wow, look at this thing, it's right here, it's so big, I need to work on this. And that is the chametz. That's what we're checking for. Pesach isn't just a physical redemption, it's also a spiritual redemption. It says, what does it mean when we say in the Haggadah, Ilu lo hotziya kadosh baruch hu avtenu mitzrayim? Hashem wouldn't have taken us out of Mitzrayim. Anu, banenu, bnei banenu. Us, our children, our grandchildren, meshubadim, ayinu the paro Mitzrayim. We'd still be there. Everybody asks. The world changes. There's no such thing as slavery. The Egyptians were in the power, and then you have the Greeks, you have the Romans, you have the Spanish. Why would we say that we'd still be in Egypt? Says Rav Dasa, doesn't say, avadim hayinu the paro Mitzrayim. Doesn't say that we were slaves. It says, meshubadim hayinu. We would have been indebted. And it goes through, the term Mitzrayim comes from min ha-metzar, closed in. And the term of paro is parua, openness. This fantasy world, you get whatever you want, you can do whatever you want, you don't like something, you just do some magic and change the reality. Ilu lo hotziya kadosh baruch hu avotenu Mitzrayim, anu banenu bnei banenu, us and our children, grandchildren, mishubadim, we would have been stuck, the paro, in this openness world, in Mitzrayim, we would have been locked in. And we would have been indebted. It would have become so much a part of who we are, we wouldn't have been able to break free. So I once had a student ask me, I don't understand. If the chametz is so bad, if the chametz is the Yetzer Hara, so how can we have chametz all year round? How can we have chametz all year round? If it's representing Yetzer Hara, surely we should never want it. Good question. I said, I don't know. I haven't seen anyone discuss it, but if I had to guess...
It's not too expensive.
It's called lechem ayni for a reason, right? Poor man's bread. You buy the matzah, Baruch Hashem. It's too expensive. Chances are they'd mass produce it to be cheaper. People would find a lot of kulas. But why don't we have matzah all year round? Why are we able to have chametz? And I said, if I had to guess, I would say we need the chametz, especially in today's generation, especially the youth, because you need to have not arrogance or haughtiness. You need to have self-esteem. You need to feel good about yourself. It's imperative that we teach our children who they are and give them what they need. Otherwise, you look through the four sons. You have the Chacham. He's a clever kid. Ma, Edut, Chukim, Mishpatim. He's able to classify and compartmentalize the different ideas. We know Chukim are things we don't understand. We know that Mishpatim are things we understand. What's the first category this Chacham says? What are the Edot? What are the testimonies? What would you say? What's this category of Edot? Shabbos. Mila. So, what is the testimony? A mishpat is something we probably would have figured out. You can't kill, you can't steal, you can't commit adultery, you can't have a functioning society. Chances are, even if the Torah and Hashem didn't command us, we would have made sure to have these laws. Chukim are things we never would have imagined. Edos are things in between. You never would have thought of them, but once you have them, oh, it makes perfect sense. You never would have thought, I have a day of the week where you do nothing, right? And you just sit and you learn and connect to Hashem and you can't go on your phone and you can't go in your car. We never would have thought of such a thing. But now that you have Shabbat, if you've done right, the best, it's the ultimate testimony of Hashem. Brit Milah, you never would have thought. You take a little baby that's just born a week ago and give him a surgery. But if you understand what it is, it's amazing, it's beautiful. It's a testimony. But what do we deal with to the Chacham? And notice he's not a tzaddik. He's a Chacham. He's a clever kid. Nobody's born a tzaddik. He can be born very clever. And what do we do to this kid? We don't give him a nice fluffy answer, some nice stories. We teach this kid. He's a clever kid. Speak to him on his level. Go through all the halachot. Go through all the different ideas. Go through the chakiras. Go through the pilpul. Go through the lambda. He's a clever kid. Treat him clever. Rasha, you got to knock out his teeth. He's a bully. You bully him back. You got to speak his language. Each kid needs to be treated on their own, the way they are. You have the Tam. He's a simple, simple kid. I was walking yesterday with the chairman of Kishara, and I said to him, you have the Tam. What's the Tam's question? Mazois. What's this? You look in Parashat Ve'etchanan, Rashi tells you, Tinok Tipesh. There's no lower level of intelligence than what's this? If Shem Shab discusses, you know, we have in the Mizmor Shir on Shabbat, Uksiyo lo yavin et zot. stupid person, like Yavin, doesn't understand. Mazot, and it's a whole other class for another time, what exactly he's referring to over there. But he asks, what's this? So you give him an answer, you speak his language. How could there be a She'ena Yodei Lishon? How could you have less than what's this? The littlest child can do what's this. So some of our Hashem say, no, it's not She'ena Yodei Lishon. It's your typical apathetic, can't be bothered teenager. Not She'ena Yodei, She'ena Rotzeh. You made him come to the Seder, he's sitting there, Nu, yalla, let's go already. What do you have to say to yourself? Almost always, I teach a lot of teenagers, I'd be like, what do you think? Well, I don't know. I know you don't know. I'm asking you what you think. Right? Most teenagers, they'll just sit there. And they'll wait till you stop asking questions. Ad tachlo, get him involved. But I heard this week another pshat. Who is the She'ina Yodei Lishon? It's the special needs child. Special needs child, he can't even talk. But he's also at the Seder. You bring him to the Seder, and you do everything you possibly can. You don't say, no, this is what it is, Nebuch, and we'll put him in over there. Get him involved, no matter what level. Bring him to the Seder. Each child needs to be dealt with the way they are. But no matter what, children need self-esteem. I'm sure I've said here in the past, one of my favorite ideas, worth repeating, the Rasha. What do you do to the Rasha? Haket shinam, knock him in the teeth. How's that going to help? It's like the worst parenting advice ever. He comes. At least he came to the Seder. You're going to punch him out? That's not going to help. So I forget which Rebbe it is. Says, the way you spell the word Rasha is Resh Shin Ayin. The outside two letters are Resh and Ayin. Spell Ra. If you only look at the exterior and say, wow, look at how she dresses. Look at his haircut. Look at how, you know, who his friends are. You only look at the outside, you see Ra. The inside letter of Shin has three branches representing Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Explain to this child, do you know where you come from? Do you know the spiritual DNA that you have? Do you know how amazing you are? Do you know how phenomenal you are? Do you know the koyches that you have? Hake et shinav. Wake up his shin. Wake up his inside. Speak to his neshama. If you speak to his neshama, he's no longer going to be the Rasha. But if you're only focusing on what they're doing wrong, it's going to be a long and challenging road. Every child needs self-esteem. No matter what level they are, speak to them on their language. They don't even want to talk, get them involved. What do you think? I don't know. I know you don't know. What do you think? Why? How? Why is Seder night so important? Which of the leaders do you identify with the most? What do you think was so special? Find questions. The Haggadah is question-answer format for a reason. Because it's meant for children. Children, you gotta ask questions. You gotta engage them. Get them excited. They get the right answer, you give them sweets. They have a beautiful answer, two sweets. And especially if you have more than one kid. So Brother Pinchas Scheinberg, he says, he's talking about parenting. You have a kid who's making a lot of trouble, and another kid who doesn't. Don't punish the kid who's making the trouble. What do you have to do? Just reward the kid. He might not be doing nothing. He's just sitting there. But he's not talking chutzpah. He's not making trouble. Say, wow, you're behaving so well, you give him a prize. What's the other kid going to automatically do? You didn't punish him. He also wants a prize. Every kid's the same way. Every adult's the same way, but especially kids. Get them involved. And when they see the other kids are getting good stuff, they too want to get involved. Every child needs to have that self-esteem. Why do we have chametz all year round? We need to have the self-esteem. But there's a balance of humility versus self-esteem. We often think humility means you walk around the Vardic style. I'm a nobody, I'm a nothing. That might have worked for people 100 years ago. But nowadays, you need to build up your child's self-esteem. You need to build up your grandchild's self-esteem. Humility means you walk around saying, if you're clever, you can say you're clever. And if you're rich, you don't walk around saying you're poor. And if you're good-looking, you don't walk around saying, I'm ugly. But at the same time, what do you say? It's from Hashem. It's a gift. You did anything to be good-looking? You did anything to be clever? Hashem gave you a gift. Even those that are rich, I don't know, but I've been told by many, you know, the time that you spend on the deal, weeks and months, and it falls apart. And the time you barely spent on the deal, that's what brings in all the money. Because it's all from Hashem. Ishtalut, you got to try, you got to put in the time and effort. Success is from Hashem. We need to understand who we are. And if you're clever, say, yeah, Baruch Hashem. I had somebody say to me, wow, I love your Torah. It's not me. The Torah is beautiful. So this one packages that way. Everyone has different ways, different styles. The Torah is beautiful. It's not one person's Torah. When there's challenges, what does it usually come down to? When there's machalikas, what is it? It comes down to covet. Arrogance. I'll give you an example. If you were to call me up, say, Levi, I heard you're pretty good with kids. Can you do me a favor? Can you babysit? I have a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old. I'm not a babysitter. Kidding me? Someone called you up, it'd be a bit of a chutzpah, no? I'm not a babysitter. If Reb Chaim Kanievsky called me up, if the Queen of England called me up and said, I heard you're pretty good with kids, do me a favor, you know, Kate and William, they have a big event, can you watch, George? Right? What would I say? Chosh of a gig. Take some pictures. You know, the Queen called me. Right? What changed? It's a covet. So you get upset at people, how dare he do this to me? Why? Because there's that guy. There's that arrogance. The biggest tzaddikim in Gedolim, the famous story with Reb Cheskel Abramsky. I think there was a whole situation with Shechita, and they called him in. And he swears, you swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, right, on the Torah, on the Bible. And they're asking him, and they say to him, is it true you're the foremost halachic authority when it comes to slaughtering? And I think it was all of the UK. He says, all of Europe, all of the world. And the judge stops and says, Rabbi, this doesn't say much for your humility. He says, I know, but I'm under oath. He understood who he was. He knows he's the gadol. And at the same time, he was known to be so humble. Reb Moshe Feinstein. He was having trouble with his heart. He went to the doctor. And they told him, you need to put in a pacemaker. He was very distraught. So they said to him, well, why are you so upset? Should give you another 10 years at least. He says, no, I know I'm going to do it. I have to do it. But I'm worried it might be considered a mum. And then I won't be able to be on the Bet Din Shamala. Every generation, they get judged by the Gedolim and Tzaddikim and Gedolei Ador of their generation. If you were getting judged by the Chafetz Chaim and by the Ben Ish Chai, they don't know what Wi-Fi is. They don't understand the temptations and the challenges of today's generation. Every generation gets judged by their Tzaddikim and Gedolim. Reb Moshe understood he's the Gadol Hador. And he said, I might not be able to sit on the Beis Din Shamal. Was he not humble? Reb Moshe was the most humble. They came to him, they had a shaila about Siamese twins. Are they allowed to do the surgery? So he sat down with the number one doctor in America. If someone buys a pack of cigarettes, it says on it, Surgeon General's warning. Reb Moshe had a meeting with the Surgeon General to understand all the different technicalities. And I believe it was like a 3-hour meeting ended up being. They walk out, Reb Moshe gave his shock. And they asked the Surgeon General, what do you think of this rabbi? Reb Moshe was maybe 5 feet. He said, I don't know if I've ever met a man so knowledgeable in so many different things. At the same time, I don't know if I ever met a man who's so humble. That's what the Surgeon General said about Reb Moshe. 3 Siyumei Hashas ago. Remember, I was in New Jersey in Nassau Coliseum. They had 25,000 people. And in Madison Square Garden in New York City, another 25,000. And in Chicago, they had, I forget where, another 10, 12,000. And there was live video hookups. After that, they went to MetLife Stadium the past two. Rabbi Yisachar friend spoke. He was in Chicago, I believe. And he spoke and he said over a story about Reb Moshe Feinstein. Reb Moshe calls up his nephew. And he says, I want you to come to my house making a l'chaim. He says, for what? He said, I finished Shas. And his nephew sort of says, like, you're Reb Moshe Feinstein, like, big deal. He says, no, this is a special one. This is my second cycle of 101. So that Shabbos, someone told me that his friend was walking in Manhattan, Reb David Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Kadosh Lebracha, passed away recently. And they said to him, is that story true with your father? Did he really finish Shas over 202 times? And Reb David Feinstein says, I don't know. Sounds about right. But if they really wanted to talk about the godless and the greatness of my dad, they would have told over this story. We were in camp, Lada Gedolim, in the summer. They went to camp. And I don't know what camp it was, Camp Aguda. And everybody's busy playing with their friends. And there's this little kid, 7, 8 years old. And he's got the ball on his glove and he's throwing up the ball and he's catching it. Throwing up the ball and he's catching it. Moshe looks up, he sees what's happening, closes his Gemara, comes to this little kid and says, "Can you do me a favor? Can we have a catch together?" Said Reb David, if they wanted to talk about the greatness of my father, everyone knows he learned a lot. But his humility, he didn't care. Who, what, is a kid? More important than my learning, I'll go play with this kid to build up his self-esteem. He shouldn't be alone. Or la'aba asar, we check for the chametz. And we get rid of that arrogance and that gaiva. Vayikra el Moshe. When Hashem calls to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Mi ani v'ma ani v'anachnu ma. That's why it has to be in the same pasuk. Because Vayikra el Moshe, when Moshe Rabbeinu was called to by Hashem, he made himself little. Therefore, comma, automatically, Vayidaber Hashem elav mo'al mo'ed. Hashem's going to call out to him from oel mo'ed. Panim el panim, face to face. The greatest prophet, Avi ha-Nevi'im, Lokam b'Yisrael k'moshe od, Navi'u ma'bid et munato. Why? Because when it was Vayikra el Moshe, he made himself little and insignificant and said, Mi ani v'ma ani? I'm probably barely using the talents. He knew he was. Moshe Rabbeinu knows he's the greatest man who ever lived. But he said, but compared to Hashem, I'm a nothing. Rabbi Yisrael understood who he was. Rabbi Chaskel Abramsky, they understood. They had, not gaiva, self-esteem. But at the same time, they had that humbleness. They were matzah. They didn't say, look at how great I am or who I am. They understood, I'm just using the kofot that Hashem gave me. And we sit down by the Seder and we discuss who we are. We discuss the Yitziat Mitzrayim, the Exodus. But first we need to ask ourselves another question. Thank you very much, Hashem took us out. Who put us in? If I come to you and I say, you know what, I don't like you, I take a bat, I break your knees, break your kneecaps, punch you in the face, throw you in the street, you can't even move, there's a truck coming, at the last second I grab you out of the way. I'm a hero? I'm a tzaddik? I broke your legs, I put you in, and now I saved you at the last second. That doesn't make me a tzaddik. Thank you, Hashem. Wow, unbelievable. The last second, 49th level of Tumah, you come, you pull this out. Azaku Baru. Don't put us there. You won't have to save us. What exactly are we celebrating? So our rabbis tell us, when Avraham Avinu says, Bama Eda, how do I know? It wasn't a lack of bitachon or money. He wasn't asking, how? Bama, what's going to be the zuchu? What's going to be? How are they going to get out? When we look at the greatest tzaddikim, and tzaddikot in Jewish history, we've said many times, each one has a more challenging life than the next. Avraham Avinu, little kid, 3 years old, he already starts having questions until the age of 40. He's still doing Avodah Zarah, but it's bothering him. And then his father turns him into the authorities, they throw him in the fire. And he's married many years, no kids. And then Hashem says to him, go, he finally goes, doesn't know where he's going, he gets there, there's a famine. And then he goes down to Mitzrayim, his wife gets kidnapped, and there's a world war. And his nephew gets captured, he has to go save him. And Hashem tells him to have this surgery at the age of 99. Kick his son out of the house, bring his son as a sacrifice. Problem after problem, challenge after challenge, test after test. Yaakov Avinu, Yosef HaTzadik, we discussed I think last time I was here. David HaMelech, each one has a life more challenging than the next. But what do we know? It's not because they were great that they got tested. It's because they got tested that they were great. We want to understand, why did Hashem do this to us? Why did Hashem put us through what's called the Kur HaBarzel? If you have a sword, and you want to form the sword, what do you need to do? You need to put it through the fire. That's what's going to shape it. That's when it's hot, that's when you can bend it this way or that way. You have a bar of gold. It's beautiful. You can't really do much with it. But you melt it down, and then, when it's going through the fire, as it's hot, as it's just been burned, now you can shape it, now you can mold it. And now it's something that's usable, now it's something that's useful. But it has to go through the fire. Otherwise, it's just, in theory, raw potential. It's just dead weight. Hashem looks and says, Avraham Avinu, I need your children to do what you did. To go through the tests, and to become epic. But not everybody's on your level, so it's going to take time. And it's going to take generations. They have the kochot, they have the spiritual DNA to overcome anything and everything. But they have to go through the test. They need to go through the kur ha-barzel, they need to go through the fire to be able to be formed. That's what makes somebody great. I'm sure I've told you. I had a girl, she comes to me. And she says, you know, Rabbi, I decided to do what I'm told is the right thing. To keep Shabbat, to keep kosher, to dress modestly. I'll be honest, I look at my friends, they go out Friday night, partying, clubbing. It seems like they're happier. If I'm doing the right thing, how come my friends are happier? What would you say? I'm doing the right thing, why are they happier? You give them a lie detector test, they're very happy, they're having a good time. I said to her, imagine you go to the gym. Person number one gets on the treadmill, level one. And they're running, bless you, half hour, hour, hour and a half, 2 hours. Big smile on their face, they don't even break a sweat. And walks post person number two, right away, level 25. I will call this guy Moshe Levy. I'm just kidding. I'm the guy who gets the cramp, you know, the stitch within like 10 seconds, you can't even take the deep breath, that's me. Person number two walks in, level 25. Within 5 minutes, their shirt is soaked through. After a half hour, every bone in their body aches, they look terrible. Who's happier, person number one, person number two? She said, well, person number two. I said, what do you mean? Person number one has a big smile. Person number two looks terrible. Yeah, but person number two, they're accomplishing. They're doing something. They're growing. I said, exactly. Your friends, they're very happy. They're on level one. Ignorance is bliss. You, you're on level 25. Not always so glamorous. Sometimes it hurts. But you know what it means? It means you're doing something. When we have the Haggadah, we need to start with Shvach. We need to discuss where we were. Where we were. I saw Psha yesterday. Why do we have to discuss where we were? You have certain people, they were doing things they shouldn't be doing, and they knock it out of their lives as if it didn't exist. They're born again. Right? There's this terminology, but born again, Christians. Whatever you did in the past is irrelevant, doesn't count, and now you're born again. We don't say no, born again. The experiences you had is what made you who you are. No, discuss where you were and understand, because I was there, that's why I got to where I am. You have somebody who was in a 12-step program, gambling, drinking, drugs, whatever it might be, they need to have a sponsor. Why do you need to have a sponsor? Because you need to have somebody who went through it, who understands where you were and where you're going through. A lot of times, the best rabbanim for Balei Tshuva are people who themselves were Balei Tshuva. Because they went through it. They know what it was like. They know. And they lived through it, and now they came out on the other end, and they're able to say, I was there, I know it's shtriyot. I was there, I know the challenges with the parents, with the this, with the that, whatever it might be. We don't say born again, we say no. Avadim ayinu, we went through tough times. But that's what formed us, that's what made us. That's why we are who we are, because of the challenges. When we go through every single generation, and there was the Inquisition, and there was the Holocaust, and there was the Khurban, and there was the other Khurban, and we go through everything, and we say, that's what made us who we are. That's what created us. The original template is Yitzhak Mitzrayim, but since then, every single Golos, every single generation, there's been Kazakhs, and there's been pogroms. Why? Our kids should ask, why do we even bother? What we've had is headache. What's the answer? No. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ma'aseh Yadav, Hashem is there. All the challenges, Hashem is there. He's always been there. He's watching us, He's carrying us. But we need to go through that. The past year has been a very challenging year. For most people, probably the most challenging year. And we feel enslaved. Many people, if it was their choice, probably would be elsewhere for Pesach, or their plans would definitely be different. Even if they were here, they'd be having this family and that family, whatever it might be. We don't feel free. You can't just go wherever you want, do whatever you want. It's been a very challenging year. This Pesach is a little bit better than last Pesach. Then it was pandemonium. Nobody knew what was happening all over the world. But we understand that challenge, that test, that's what's going to create us. And it was the most challenging right before there was the Golus, right before there was the redemption. The Geula, excuse me. Right before, that's when it's the most challenging. Right, we're going through Chevlei Moshiach, the birth pains. Painful and then more painful, more painful, more painful. And usually right before the birth, there's a bit of a drop off. Remember, my wife was in labor, 8 centimeters, 9 centimeters, and then like for a few minutes, nothing happened. I said, no, Hashem gives extra strength for the final push. So that sometimes you don't have the contractions right at the end, and then you use the contractions to push out the baby. We're in Chevlei Moshiach. So it's been challenging and challenging and challenging, and they were, you know, The contractions were 10 minutes apart, and then 3 minutes apart, and then 2 minutes apart. And now, right before Mashiach, we had, since the last Churban, a bit of a break. And now maybe Hashem's saying, you're ready. So it's going to be challenging. To be able to be free, you need to have known what it meant to not have freedom. You don't appreciate freedom unless you had some type of shibud. So Hashem says, I don't want to make you be beaten and persecuted and whipped. So I'll give you an element of avdus, of slavery, where you're not free. And now you can appreciate, Meretz Hashem, when there is that freedom. When you can have that achdus and come together. When you can be together with the family. When you've had the lack of freedom and now you are free. That's the ultimate. We've gone through the Chevlei Moshiach. Hashem's ready. We need to be ready. Understand those tests, those challenges. That's what's going to make us. That's what's going to form us. We're gold. We just need to be formed. But you need to be humble. You need to be the matzah. Vayikra al Moshe. Because Moshe was so humble, because he said, everything I have is a gift from Hashem. Therefore, by the Baruch Hashem, Elav Ma'or Mo'ed. We need to start Boitkin as a Chametz Lower Ner. That's what brings the Geula. That's what brought the Geula with Pesach. And I saw just this past Friday night, I'll end with this. That's what brought the Geula Purim. What happens right before Esther goes to Achashverosh? What night was that? It's Pesach. So right before she goes, Orla Arba Asar, Potkin et HaChametz. She started getting rid of any arrogance she might have had. L'Or HaNer, she understood that we need the Kimu V'Kiblu HaYehudim. And they even say, some people have a minog, you put out 10 pieces of bread. Why? 10 pieces of bread representing the 10 sons of Haman. Because it was then, with the Geula, with the Boitkin es HaChametz of Esther, and I'm sure Mordechai and all the Jewish people at that time, that's what led to the Geula. Be'ezat Hashem, we too will be able to get rid of any of that arrogance. Someone calls you up to babysit. Yeah, okay. That's fine, yeah. Right? I was thinking about it. If your child calls you up to babysit your grandchild, it's a chutz, right? it's not like a chutzpah. If anybody else called you up, it's a chutzpah. For your own grandchild, oh, you'd love to. Right? It all depends on your headspace. It all depends on your attitude. Be'ezat Hashem, we'll get rid of that arrogance. Everybody on their own level. And if we do that, we'll be matzah, we'll be like Moshe Rabbeinu, and Hashem will once again crawl out to us, Mo'ar Mo'ed, Moshe Atzikhen Rabbi Aminu. Amen.